Blog Talk Radio. Welcome in Love and Light. That was Eternal Love Healing. Isn't that beautiful? By Kai Eva Lani. I think I'm getting that name right. Kai Eva Lani. And beautiful artist and shaman, I believe, at rhythmavatars.com. Kai Eva Lani, if you are listening, thank you so much for sharing your amazing music with us. And more information on you, so I kind of let our listeners know even more about you. It's so wonderful to be here with everyone. Happy Wednesday. Happy Venus Day. Wednesday is ruled by Venus. So it's a time to have gratitude and appreciation. And I have gratitude for all of you and being here as well. I'm Michelle Mache, your host, and as I like to say, co-pilot on this wonderful exploratory trip that we're all on, this wonderful journey of this soul path and life expression. It's always great to connect with all of you here at Awakenings Radio. And hello all that are in the chat room, the sacred space of empowerment. Yes, welcome. And if you are new to Awakenings, there's a bit about, you can ask in the chat room, but there's also a bit of information on the Awakenings Radio profile page. What we our focus is here. If you are listening as a guest, that's great. If you'd like more interaction in the chat room, all you need to do is register with Blog Talk Radio, which simply means just your name, email address. They send you an email confirmation, and you can put your avatar up if you like, or upload a picture of some sort. And there you have more interaction in the sacred space of empowerment. If you also would like to listen by phone, the number is 347-539-5122. 347-539-5122. And if you have a question or a comment, or you'd like to get a reading at this portion of the program, press 1 on the keypad, and that will alert me. So, wonderful High Holy Holidays to all of you, the High Holy Days at the time of going within. I want to say hello to everyone listening via Cosmic Dimensions live streaming as well, and also via iTunes and in the archives. We have a lot of archive listeners, because a lot of people, well, at work or just life doing other things at this time. So I do appreciate all of you, and I also really, really appreciate all of you in the sacred space of empowerment that are really helping to anchor the program. All of you are, whether you're listening in the archives or via Cosmic Dimensions or iTunes or other podcast stations, you all are co-creating this with me. And we're being guided just to connect, especially at these times. So we are in a bit of a gap. We're in another gateway, portal of light. We have a gateway every November, December, right about in the middle of the month there, and then again May, June. And many of you have heard me talk about this before, how there's been a increase in not only in energy, in light, in wavelength, if you will, in frequency, but also with more of a, at this time, at every gateway, there's usually something that people are needing to go through. These are times of initiation. Seafoam, I finally have a day off to be in the chat room. Woohoo! Yay. So this gateway particularly is working on people being on their own and moving from being alone or some may say lonely, to alone, to be able to be on their own and to get their own guidance, to be able to pull out consciously from all that is going on the external, to not feel the external pressures. Because one of the things that's really, really important in the new emerging consciousness that is being evolved through us, that we're encoded with, and that's decoding now, it's really the ability to hear your own sound, hear your own song. We're all a verse in the universe, okay? That universe is made of many verses, but there's the law of many or the law of one. So out of the one comes the many, and from the many is the one. So in essence, the all that is that we are is extending out to get to know itself, experience itself, express itself, and to learn by the energy and motion, or express and experience through emotion or energy and motion, through feeling, through opposites, through polarity of what does cold feel like, what is that experience, and what is hot, and what is intensity, and what is lack, and what is fullness. These are all these expressions of fourth dimension on down, specifically the third and fourth, but it goes into even, you know, second and first dimensional being, that as soon as we're in this effect world from the causal, the effect of the causal, we begin experiencing through polarities. Now that is beginning to cease, or lessen, let's say lessen. It's beginning to really lessen, meaning that we're going to have less extreme experiences. Now we might have more extreme experiences in the beginning, you know, while we're in this shift. But ultimately, it is about lessening of the extremes. We've gone as far as we can with the extreme nature, so individuating. So we're not going to lose our individuation, but we are to be connecting back into the collective or the group or the galactic, the universal. So there are many ways to come back in with the many, whether it's through friends and family, through your soul tribe. Some of them will be family of origin, will be part of that, some may not. And how do you do this? You do this by resonance. You do this by tuning into the resonance and seeing where are you resonating. And this, something that's really, really important, I'm going to be doing some workshops. I'm coming out with, I've been asked to do an online course, and that course is finished, but it's in the kind of uploading and editing phase. Really working with manifesting your soul's purpose. I've been doing this for, well, long time, since 1990, I believe. And now it's like it's so much more the time. When I started really focusing on the soul and being spirit-led, people weren't as receptive. They didn't want to know about the soul, and they didn't even really believe in it or understand it, because there was so much at the time, and even still to now with The Secret and stuff, it was all about willing things to happen, or being motivated, or making it happen, or focus thinking what you want and then getting it. Well, that's shifting. It's more about connecting in on the soul level and seeing what the soul wants, because that's the true you, the higher self. So it's not that the ego, the constructed aspect of you, still gets some, obviously some, you know, of its needs and wants met as well, when in alignment to the what's called the greater good. And that doesn't mean good or bad. It means what is most optimum or right and appropriate for all parts of self or all parts of systems of self, including those that are around you. So one of the things I really want to touch on today and stress before we get to the callers is meditation, some form of meditation, getting into that meditative state. I've got either on my selfenlight.com or Conscious Inspired Living. If you go to consciousinspiredliving.com on the meditation lounge page, there are some free meditations that you can download. And I believe the alignment meditation is on there. I'm not sure. Also on selfenlight.com, the meditation page. Again, some meditations that are gifted to you. That getting into that meditative phase, I guess also on my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, there's also some things that can help you, write-ups and meditations on there as well. It's not so much the practice. It's, you know, because the practice is going to be different for everyone. I have come from a very traditional Eastern approach and a shamanic approach, which I've kind of, I wouldn't say broken from, but have taken from that and synthesized my own, I guess, my own spiritual practice and focus, including all the work and training that I've done esoterically and with the Great White Brotherhood and Galactic Federation and Spiritual Hierarchy and working with the Oversouls, as well as my incarnate teachers. And really, that is going to be the focus for everyone, to some degree, and for some people, a huge degree, coming up in the new paradigm, is what is your way? What is your way to attune or align in? Sure, it'll be taking from perhaps the major religions or things that you've learned from, those disciplines, those spiritual principles, those spiritual understandings or esoteric wisdom, knowledge, sacred knowledge, but synthesizing it and making it your own so that it's reflecting your own soul. The one thing I can say is that the meditative state is not only important, it is key to the shift. It is key to the path of consciousness. It is key to aligning to your soul's purpose. Because your, and Grand Elf is putting, it's the connection to your higher self. Exactly. Exactamente. Perfecto. Yes. Because, you know, I worked the other day with some people. I had done a workshop, and then I went did some visiting afterwards, and they were doing vision boards. But it was all from the ego personality. And what I want to say to you is, when you're, whatever you're doing, unless you're in that meditative state, you're not getting full or true information about what you need to do. You're not getting the real deal. And it just sets you up for disappointment, because your higher self is connected to the template of your true DNA or energetic matrix. So the more you can go by that. Now, why don't a lot of people go by that? Because they don't always like what they have to experience. Or maybe there's delays to what they think they want, or they know that you might know you want something. You have a goal in mind, an idea, but it may not unfold in the exact way that you want it to or think it should, or that it's happening the same way as your neighbor or your friend. And so that causes, you know, for many people, and believe me, I've been there. I've just kind of learned to accept it a little more quickly, a little longer on the path. So you kind of get with the program. You go, this is how it works. Really, really works. There is a divine timing. There is a encoding and a decoding in a certain time phrase. This is where synchronicity comes in. So though we love to look to the left and to the right of us, we look at, you know, people that we know and say, why don't I have that, or why isn't it happening this way for me, or I've been on the path this long and this isn't happening, because you have your own template, and within that template has its own configuration. And that configuration unfolds or is expressed in its own individual way. So my little perception thought is find a way to tune in. So as Grand Elf said, you can connect to your higher self in the chat. It's your connection to your higher self. Otherwise, you're simply doing a mental game, and it's not really going to draw to you the experiences that are going to allow your total unfoldment. Because, yes, we don't all live up to our potential. There's a potential, but it is exactly that. It's potential. But you do have a greater chance of living up to that potential aligned to the higher self. So any questions, you can email me at info@selfandlight.com. I am at what I'm doing with the, because some people have sent personal questions. As long as there are personal questions that I can answer on air that can benefit everyone, like what people are going through, I don't mind hearing about what you're going through personally, but as long as the question is relevant to the unfolding of the path, the shift, meditation, intuition, you know, psychic coming into your gifts, something that is reflecting that, then I will answer on air and also on my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. Otherwise, I am still gifting people, the Awakenings listener participants, half off on my psychic channeling sessions. And we're into January with the booking, but if you call between now and the beginning of the year or email info@selfandlight.com, we can get you in. And don't let, you know, there's always something that you can do. So, again, think of yourself as a resource, that you have, you know, many gifts that you're tapping into. And be open. Be open to what your higher self is wanting to create through you. Remember, the only part of you that's making the change is the impermanent part of you. It's that ego template, that ego personality. But the soul self is simply shining through more, because that's the template. That's the goal there. All right, we're going to get to callers. Hello, 815-713. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well.
So. Oh, you are doing really, really well. But I feel something else underneath.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it pertains to everything that you're speaking of, and the transition and the shift for myself, in which I acknowledge everything. But my question is for this one particular person in my life, and I'm thinking that you already know who he is.
Yeah. Is this Jarita?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. I recognize your energy. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Is it time for me to just sever all ties with this person? Because I really get the impression that I have been lied to for a while now by him. And I'm not sure why, and I don't really care to think I know. I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But should I just, you know, like sever all ties? Or?
Yeah, here's the deal. This is a really, 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 really good question, because it really has to do with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go into that, you know, another day when we do more astrology, because, you know, we've got the Pluto in Capricorn right now. We've got the Saturn in Libra, which, you know, has to do specifically with relationship and balancing the scales, and knowing if there's an energetically balancing the scales. Uranus and Aries Uranus going back in Aries, the beginning of the year, which is about freedom and individuality. One of the things that's really happening right now is that we are being called into right livelihood and right relationship. And first I should say right relationship, because all comes from that. And that relationship is first and foremost to ourself, our soul self, connecting to the higher self and seeing what's right for us, what's right for our unfoldment. You know, in a healthy, balanced way, life-enhancing way, the guides like to say. It's not about right or wrong. And from that right relationship comes to right relationship with other people. And from that, you get your right livelihood or right way of living and expressing and being. And from that will also be jobs and careers and this and that. So what's happening, Jarita, and everyone else, there is going to be a major focus the next 2.5 to 3 years, it's really highlighted, is seeing spiritual discernment, seeing where people really are, not where we want them to be, not where we think they are, or say they are, or where they say they are, or they want to be, but as they really are. So we can't move into, we can't move into this the next part of the awakening until we really get that. One thing to remember is we're all always spiritually connected. So when we're not around somebody physically or receiving something from them emotionally, we're still connected. So one of the things that can help is to focus on your spiritual or soul connection, especially in a meditation. You can get into meditation and open to connect to your higher self and that person's higher self and really feel that connection there. However, because of the law of resonance, where we're being placed, where we more resonate, you know, everyone's being placed in soil where you can more easily, grace and ease, flow and grow. You may be winding out from people. So it's not so much about cutting off. It's about just letting it be and moving on yourself. Because the cutting off, what it does is it triggers duality. It triggers the old game of polarity of I'm with you, I'm not with you. I love you, I hate you. It's, you know, Drita, thanks for staying on the line. Yeah, I got disconnected, so heads up if that happens, just stay on the line.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So what it is if you see that you're being lied to, because see that we express through our spiritual essence, we express mentally on the mental plane, the emotional plane, the physical plane, and the material plane. The physical plane being your physicality, your physical body. Obviously, we know the material. The material is an extension of you, but it's in your possessions and your materialization on earth, if you would. So if you're not getting what you need emotionally and there's some issues, then you have to look at something. Maybe it's in a mental emotional issue that it's not a match or no longer healthy. So what I would say to you and to anybody else that's going through this is you need to wind out, move on, get more interested in your life and what you're doing and attracting those that are more of resonance.
Okay.
And just leave them. Let them be. We're not in the old paradigm said we got in and helped people and told them what to do and
right.
and what they didn't do, and that's over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right?
It. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great. Very relevant question and point. Thanks, Charita.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Really good point, because we're coming out of a paradigm where we've been told and taught to try to help people and teach people. This is a little different. It's becoming more magnetic. So as we're becoming more magnetic, we're to draw to us the people and situations that we need and let people more come to us. Now, we can express something, we can share, we can give our opinion, but if it's not received or that doesn't trigger someone to shift, then we really need to figure out where and how they fit in. Hello, 215-747. Welcome to Awakenings.
Michelle?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
I had a quick question. I actually was going to ask a relationship question, but I think you already answered it with the first caller. So, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I had a question about career, work. You know, New Year's coming, and I'm trying to figure out, I guess in a way, what my next step should be. I'm working now, and I like the job. I like the people that I work with and everything, but I'm feeling like there's something else, and I don't know if that's my ego self or if that's my higher self speaking to me, but I just wanted to get some kind of guidance and clarification from you on what you may feel is going on with the situation and with me and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And what is the question now? What is the...
Oh, I had a question about work as far as, like, what my next step should be and things like that. Like, what... Is where I am where I should be, or do you see me moving on? Or
well, I feel for the, and it's interesting because when I look at your energy, you have, you know, there's a bit, and actually a lot of yellow. in the aura, so it's been a lot of thinking. You have a part of you in the past, a bit is in the present, and then there's a part that's into a becoming. So I want to say, yes, you're finishing up where you are. You're in a very transitional phase on a mental, emotional level. It's affecting relationships and what you want. I would say by March, April, May, June at the latest, but I think you're going to start feeling it March, April, that you want different things. And how do I go about getting that? But right now I want to say I feel you need to finish up mentally and emotionally, and there may be a relationship situation or issue there. Really, you know, everybody work with this gap that we're in right now. There's always, you know, there's a reason why people don't go back to work right away after the holidays. There really is this collective, which affects us individually, and we've been taught it individually. There's this winding down and going within. You know, it's winter, it's cooler or colder. Even if you're in a warmer climate, this is pervading over the collective with, you know, the whole idea of holidays and New Year, festivity. There's this whole pivotal point. And then kind of this, for some, it's kind of a, you know, cascading down. Some, it's like a boom. You know, now you're, you know, you went up so high, now you're in this kind of valley. This is a time to go within and to reflect. A lot of journaling, you know, various forms of writing, artwork, whatever is getting those feelings out to wind out. Now, I do feel this with you, Kathy, that you are in this phase anyway, but you feel intuitive. You have an idea that something new is on the horizon, that there's more that you're to be doing, or there's another type of, not only career, but lifestyle. And I want to say to you, you're right, but right now where you are, it's about consolidating, healing and clearing and from the mental, emotional level. And that will allow more of the spiritual insight and energy to come through. What happens when the spiritual energy and insight comes through, you get inspired. So you're waiting for your next wave of inspiration. So don't push it. It's coming. Okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And you said like around March, April?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
At the earliest. It's not exact, because it's like a wave or slow lava moving. It's a spiral. So I do feel you'll start feeling it probably mid to end of March into April, sometime around that time period, time of Aries, I feel with even more insights, kind of little flashes. And I can hear you saying, I could do that, or I want to do that. But I feel that way now.
Like, I've been doing that a lot now. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I've been doing I've found myself getting up and just wanting to do things. My thing is creativity, so being a little bit more creative here and there. And I find that each time I just jump up and just go with that feeling, it turns out really well for me, and it just allows me to express. But it's like, as you said, it's coming in waves. It's not coming in like all just like one big title, you know. It's coming in a little bit here and there.
Here and there, yes. So what will happen from the here and there, little bit by little bit, something will form that's more consistent.
Okay.
It's interesting you said about the creativity, because I've had this saying for, I don't know, the last few years, and I did a talk at a kind of a Twitter convention called the 140 Conference. And I said, you know, we're moving from the me to the we, and I said we're also consumerism. We're moving from consumerism into creativism. So we are creator beings, and that's actually what we came here to do on the in this planet. Some people say experiment, planet, dimension, however you want to put it. Learning lessons are a byproduct, but we're really here to express who we are and to create. We're co-creators, and that, what does God do? What does the universe do? It just creates. That's the foundation. And the fuel is love. You know, love is a form of creativity. It's not only a form of creativity, it is a creativity, and it is the energy of creativity. So one of the things that's really, really, really important is people are going to be reclaiming this in the new paradigm, is your creativity, your creative expression. So many, many people are going to be awakening up to this. Some are awakening a little sooner. And by the way, creativity manifests and expresses in a lot of different ways for different people. But it's about reclaiming yourself as a creator being, as a co-creator, however you want to put it, whatever terminology, But that, like clay, you're molding your life by your beliefs, by your feelings, by your ideas, and you're being molded. We're all being molded by the impulse of spirit and by our the map inside us, which is the energetic matrix, which is the soul template, our soul design. So I want to say, Kathy, you're right on target. You just got to allow for a little more flow in it, okay?
Okay.
You'll start feeling, ooh, I got to do something with this. I'm going to, you know, do something a little more consistent and formal with this. You'll really start getting that from that March to June period.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Blessings.
Blessings to you.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Creator beings, we are creator beings. Hello, 718-318. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. My name is Amenti. I'm sorry, I got a little cold. I don't know if you saw what I wrote in the chat room, but I was gonna try to
get it, but good. So you can bring it back up because you brought a good point about people seeming so conscious, but confrontation.
Yeah, I've been in the conscious community, as I say, so-called conscious, because of the madness that's been going on since I was 19. I'm 26 years old now, and I'm thankful for being on my path. I've learned a lot, and I'm working on a book project and a website, and I'm really on my way. And I want to say what disturbs me is this is nothing to do with racism. I'm a black woman. I'm about my people, and I feel there's nothing wrong with saying that. But here's the issue that I personally see. You know, I feel that there's a setback with my people in this conscious community, because there's so much arguments over, well, you know, the black woman is not God or not goddess, and, you know, or there's an argument over this lecturer and that lecturer, or there's even an argument over, well, if you're doing candle magic, that's a form of spookism, when that's a part of who we are. And it's very hurtful when I can go to Blog Talk Radio and I can see all these successful Blog Talk shows of other people of other races. And don't get me wrong, I can name three or four of the shows of, you know, my own people who are doing great shows because they don't have all that madness going on. But it's even more upsetting when I see that this is totally a setback, and I see some people who are trying to save people, you know, instead of just doing what they do on their show, they're trying to save people, and I feel like that also causes these distractions. And these are just the things that I've been seeing. You know, this was a year of really letting go a lot of things and finding me, so there's a lot of people I cut off on my path this year since the beginning. So I don't really have nothing that I can say, oh, next year I'm going to do this, because I'm already manifesting what's going to come into next year anyway. So, you know, I just wanted to vent that, you know, and just really see what your insight is, what your wisdom is to that, because it's very hurtful. You know, it's very hurtful to see it when you want something so much more for your people and you see why there's such a setback for them because of this type of pettiness.
Well, yeah, I think, again, and the new emerging consciousness and the new paradigm is ruled by Aquarius. Well, it's the template of it is of the Leo Aquarius axis and the Taurus Scorpio axis. So Taurus Scorpio axis is about taking what's esoteric or hidden, you know, our spiritual connection and grounding it. Mm-hmm. Leo Aquarius is about how can we be our individual selves or individuated aspects of the all that is or God, expressing in various ways through various groups. So that humanitarian, but even beyond. The thing is, anytime people are overly focusing on whether it's race, religion, color, eye color, whatever, it's you're stuck in duality. So we can't lie to the universe. The universe focuses on consciousness. We had Dr. Hawkins on here. He has the, you know, consciousness meter. So those are old paradigms. And in my limiting beliefs. So to me, our people are all people, because the resonance does not go by color or religion or creed. Those are man-made distinctions. Mm-hmm. So the more people can move away from that, the more people can embrace your family, embrace your culture, your cultura, however you want to say it, embrace that, celebrate it, but at some point you have to move beyond it. It can't be, if you're going to evolve, it can't be so important. It can't be the thing that's driving everybody. Because what it does is it creates separation, even by the very language of those people, my people, this race, this group. And you're going to see more dismantling of this, because what's going to happen in a lot of the challenging times are people are going to have to connect with people and work with people that they wouldn't normally work with. So it's a fine line, Amenti. It really is, because there's a lot of healing to be done on a cultural, or a cultural level, a racial level, a religious level, because people, you know, actual harmed and perceived harms, atrocities. So there's a healing phase. And what do we want to do when we heal? We want to bring out our individuality more and say, I was harmed or hurt because of this, because I looked this way, or I said this, or I believe this. So we're in twofold right now. We have this healing process where we have to see ourselves more as individuals. It's just like when we go through our own personal healing, we have to look at the wounds. We have to recount them. We have to go over and over and say, well, you know, because I was molested, this and this happened, or because I was, you know, from alcoholic family, or because I was born in, I don't know, Siberia, or whatever it is for that individual person, or because I was, you know, I used to work with doing kind of releasement work with a group of Jehovah's Witness. Now I'm probably going to get some calls on this, but to, you know, to release the brainwashing. So we have to heal and we have to connect on an individual level or a humanistic level, but then we have to bridge it really to the divine, to that oneness, that out of the one comes the many, and from the many is the one, that we all are the same. Because anybody that's done a lot of work with death and dying, I've done quite a bit of work as a bereavement counselor and also as a shaman with helping people cross over, and as a psychic channel, I can tell you 5,000% that when you are out of body, there is no color, and mm-hmm. there's no body for anyone. Mm-hmm. So it's, you're going to be seeing people that are maybe on pedestals, and since I work in this community, I see it behind the scenes with my mm-hmm. my counseling practice, or when I go to certain workshops, or you can see, wow, these people that are supposed to be such spiritual leaders and so conscious or aware are really not, you know. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fleshed out. That's going to be fleshed out in the next two and a half mm-hmm. to 3 years. Because we're working so much with that Saturn in Libra, it brings in the shadow aspect. Now, does that mean everybody has to be like a saint and wear white and only eat goji berries? No, it just means that you have to be true to you, whatever that is. You know, as one of my teachers used to say, warts and all, you know. But to create an atmosphere or a climate of connection, cooperation, communication, community, beyond race, color, creed. Now, this is advanced information, because that's the next step, but we still are very much on a societal level in the step of fostering within various communities or religious groups or ethnic groups, healing. So there is sometimes a lot of insulation, like, well, basically, we got screwed before, so now let's help our own kind, or let's help each other. And we do that with neighborhoods, right? We shop, you know, locally to help those that are closest to us, or maybe we want to help our family first before we help somebody overseas. So all that's very normal and very natural and is very beneficial. I'm just suggesting, while you're doing that, see where you can bridge to the universality, see where you can bridge to the divine that knows no separation, and see how can you live more in that space, not while letting go of the other or denigrating the other, but how can you bridge the two? And again, it's going to be different for everyone.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, because that's the thing. Saturn's in Libra, and I'm a Libra. And my Saturn return is here in 2012, you know. So I was trying to see what everything, I really do believe in all is mental, and everything outside yourself reflects inside yourself. And I keep hearing everything you just said. I've been hearing people say that lately. It's like I can tune into Blog Talk and I catch that middle part that somebody's saying that all the time. So I'm just trying to see what is the universe reflecting back to me, saying, okay, is it time to move away from this space now, or do you have to tap deeper? What is exactly being said to me? Because I'm realizing, like, hey, I am so sick and tired of this. I've been saying this for years while I've been walking this path, and I'm done. You know, that's how I feel inside. You know, so that's why I was wondering, what is this all reflecting back to me?
Okay, well, you'll know when you're done. Here's the deal. Our universe is both by projection and perception. So sometimes you perceive. Not everything that I read or experience with somebody as a psychic channel I've gone through, either in the past or present. If we're all connected, I'm going to say that theoretically. We know we're all connected. Then on some level, we're always experiencing everything. But as you step down in vibration more into physical material form, you may not be experiencing some. You might just be observing it. That's why meditation is so important. In other words, I can walk down the street and I can see somebody really angry and screaming and yelling. That doesn't mean I'm angry. It doesn't have to be a message at all. If I'm in the meditative state, I'm just observing it. And there's no projection, there's no judgment, there's no personalizing it. In many ways, that's what karma is. It's the personalization of something or the inserting in. That's why if you read from masters, teachers like Osho, they say, you know, as much connection you can have, bonding, but detachment to the outcome or detachment to what something means, that's another way to look at it. It could be just a flower. You know, it could be just, okay, that's what it is. So I would say you're going to see more of this Amenti, especially with the Saturn and Libra. What that's bringing to you is awareness. Is this life-enhancing for you now? Is this, in other words, with the Saturn and Libra, what it's calling us all to say is, hey, is the drama or the pain or the discomfort that you're feeling, is it part of your process of persistent effort or perseverance to get to that next level? Or is it pulling you off path? And that's all of our wake-up call is, hey, is what's going on in your life, the way you're living, who is in your life, is it pulling you off path? Is it pulling you off from more radiant self-expression of yourself and going to that next level? If something is overly bothering you, it can be two things. You can be caught, yes, you can be caught in a projection, and there might be something that you're doing inside that you need to heal, so you're seeing it on the outside. But it could also mean it's just time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I put on the shoes that I had in fourth grade, they're going to not fit me. They're going to pinch.
Mm-hmm.
So all it means is I'm done with those shoes. They're too small. So sometimes what the reflection is for all of us is the playground or the sandbox you're playing in is too small now. You need to play bigger. You need to expand. Mm-hmm. And, yes, sometimes that means winding out of certain groups and certain focuses. Okay, we have time for one more call, and then because then we have our amazing guest coming on. Amenti, does that shine some light? Does that?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I just had to get that off my chest.
No, but you know what? What you saying is extremely important.
Yeah.
Extremely important. Because people are going to have to start looking at this, whether, you know, and again, it's going to be different. It's going to be different for everyone, how it manifests. This is why meditation and connecting in with your higher self, getting information, whether it's working with a guide, getting a reading, calling in like you did now, and then bringing it back into your own meditation and seeing, how does this information feel? You know, does it resonate with me? You know, where am I at with this? Does it spark something new? But we've always got to bring it back to our own inner guidance and our own inner knowing, and that will give us the answer to it. That allows us to know that next step. All right, Amenti. Blessings.
Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you. Excellent, excellent question and point. Hello, real quick, because winding out 803-937. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty cool, pretty cool. I called to ask about my love life for 2011. Is there any woman coming?
Let's see. Well, I kind of feel, is there someone around you right now?
No, I'm not really.
Or someone interested in you?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I do feel somebody around you. Now, mind you, it could be in the next couple of months, but I'm not seeing you as interested in them. And it could be a friend, and I hope maybe I'm revealing something that somebody is liking you a little more than maybe you know. And I want to say down the road, give this person a chance. I feel like you're clearing up what it is that you what's really right for you, what's life-enhancing for you. So I do feel that they're either right now around you or they're very soon to come in, because I can see them really close in your aura, like one circle or rung of light out. So that's pretty immediate.
Can you describe her?
But you're a little thick. Well, not in the amount of time that we have, because I need to get on to our guest coming up. But I would say I feel like they're a friend. I almost feel like I'm calling them out, like they're gonna know. But I feel like there's somebody around you that you would least expect to be in relationship with that's been more of a confidant. And I want to say to you in 2011, that's more of what you need. You need somebody that can also be your friend. So not just the sexual attraction or the little tingle zingle, that's great too, but make sure that they can also be a friend and a partner, that they're able to listen and you are able to listen to them and help them. So I feel your relationship, the type of relationship you're drawing in, is changing, but you're not going to recognize it right away. And will it be in 2011? Yes.
Okay.
All right, Curtis.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Lots of change here on the focus of relationship and what people are drawing in, which really, again, dovetails to our focus today of the path of consciousness. We have with us today Dr. Stephen Harefield, who is the author of A Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible and the 12 Sacred Principles of Karma. He also, which is really a wonderful gift, has a lot of downloads available, like The Art of Manifesting, Amongst Perspective, and The Power of Thought. Dr. Harefield spent 6 years studying the Mahayana Tibetan Buddhist path. While he was there, he had the opportunity not only to study in India, but also Nepal, and twice he went into Tibet. And he's had many experiences that those could be termed as mystical. He's also certified intuitive by the Edgar Cayce Foundation. And he's also been interviewed by Conscious Media Network, as well as other media outlets. And many of you may know him also from Aware Talk Radio. So let's give a warm welcome to Dr. Stephen Harefield. Hello, Dr. Harefield. Welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here. And please, just call me Stephen. Initials?
Yeah.
Or they tend to block people from people.
Yeah. I was going to get to the Stephen. I'd like to do that in the beginning, but thank you for that, so that people can connect in to the fullness, to a little more of who you are. So how is your day going?
Absolutely perfection and a constant state of unfolding. And by the way, I was listening to your responses to some of the questions, and my sense said almost the exact same thing that you were telling both of those people. Meditation is extremely important, and I think your gentleman doesn't know that the person is standing right next to them.
Oh, thank you for that confirmation. There you go, Curtis. Yeah, that. What do you make, since we're talking a bit, and I do want to dive in a bit about the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, that book particularly, but since we touched on the relationship, what do you feel is happening in the path of consciousness in the arena of relationship, since so many people, that's a major focal point for people.
And I'm not totally surprised at that because of the time we're in. We're seeing relationships coming apart, but as they come apart, there are much more relationships that are coming together, and the purpose of that is to create the idea of divine relationships between people. When I say divine relationships, it is about consciousness. It is about being aware of that other person and their emotions and their sense. I think what the universe is actually attempting to do is to teach us one of the most sacred grounds in life, and that's the idea of a relationship between two people. And it's putting the actual dynamics together for us right now for us to achieve that state in relationships where we don't take them for granted. The new relationships that are coming in are going to be more in the sense of permanence than a passing of two ships in the night, so to speak. So I'm thrilled at this period of time that we're in.
Me as well, and I like what you say, that moving more into the divine. We have a couple of people in the chat saying that it's hard to hear you, so I don't know if it's turning on my end it's up all the way, but turning volume up or maybe more into the earpiece.
Maybe I just need to talk a little bit louder. Ooh. How's that?
Oh, good. Okay, good. I like that, Steve. So, explain a little more about not passing in the night. So, more bonded relationships, more connected relationship. What do you mean by that?
I would say more truly heartfelt relationships. A lot of people, as you know in your own experience, Michelle, they have we want love, but at the same time we're afraid of it. And the reason we have a fear of it is because of what we believe, based historically, on what love can do to us. One of the things that I share with people all over the world, Michelle, and that's that the key to a true loving relationship is loving yourself first. We tend to forget that and overlook that. The reason that's important is because if a person doesn't love themselves first, how can they love someone else? And maybe more importantly, how can someone else even love them? Love is something that historically we've always attempted to control. But to control love is like attempting to grab a handful of air and hold on to it. It doesn't happen that way. Love is a spontaneous activity. I asked one of my teachers in India one day about the idea of love. Imagine asking a celibate monk that question. But his answer was simple and beautiful. What he said was this: love only knows itself. Love does not know time nor distance. And when it occurs in the moment in which it arrives, and it cannot be denied. And that's exactly what happened. Love is a spontaneous action. It's not a planned thing. It's I know a lot of people say, no, I'll never do it again, yada, yada, and sure enough, when that ideal person comes in, if they're terrified of love, it would be like two ships passing in the night. But when we recognize love in that spontaneous act, it's just, well, to me, it's the most amazing experience, and it's one of the greatest experiences we're down here in life to enjoy, so to speak. True love is effortless. It just is. It just is what it is. I hope that answered your question.
It does. So in the path of consciousness, do you feel that there'll be more of a focus on love?
Totally.
Okay.
When we look at the world today, we're seeing what would appear on the surface to be turmoil. I love to share with people that we can be passively stubborn as human, and we tend to learn the hard way. So we're seeing all of these conflicts, so to speak, to bring us to deeper levels of understanding and acceptance. And that is going to happen. We are seeing the awakening of the divine. And there's nothing anybody can do about it other than accept it, appreciate it, and love it. Because this world is transforming itself from the difficulties that we see today to more of a deep meaning harmony from human to human. And that's another reason why I think a lot of these relationships are being brought together now to be living demonstrations. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. The living demonstration. And I love what you said. And I really want to underscore, I'm going to repeat it, maybe you repeat it, but we need to really underscore it. This world is transforming itself. I think if people keep that more in mind, there will be less fear or fear-based ideology or focus. Because what I hear in that, when you say this world is transforming itself, that it is encoded. It's in motion.
Yes, absolutely, without question. In fact, I do predictions every year, and I began doing that about 15 years ago. And so far, it's been astounding at the level of transformation. So we've become so steeped in the material physicalness of life that we've forgotten our true nature of who we are. And it's being rebirthed, if you will, or reawakened. When Edgar Casey said that Atlantis will rise again, he didn't mean that an island in the ocean is going to pop out. Of course, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
What he wanted us to understand was that level of divine being is reawakening to human consciousness. That's what we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, what you've just spoke is the esoteric, esoteric interpretation, or metaphysical interpretation, which there's a lot of misinterpretation out there more in the community or even mainstream consciousness, that, like you said, maybe that this thing is going to pop out, or the ascension, somehow we're all going to just float up into the sky, right? Instead of bringing it back into the consciousness of what is actually happening on a inner level.
Yes.
And maybe if you can speak to that a little bit, of what is happening in this path of consciousness, what is happening in the awakening on an inner level with, quote-unquote, everyone?
Well, let's suppose just for a moment, Michelle, that let's say everybody is really exactly like the one that we refer to as the Christ. Imagine what the world will be like when everyone awakens to that ideal. That's a place where I'd want to be. I know that. And
yeah.
I believe with every ounce of my being that's when we look at the idea of divine awakening, we are starting to realize we're a lot more special. It hasn't come to full recognition yet, but we're a lot more special than any of us could ever conceive. I mean, even it was about 4 years ago, I read an article in a science journal that geneticists discovered in the human genome the idea of the God gene. It's there. It's just been dormant.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's bringing itself forth. In fact, in the Nag Hammadi, in the Gospel of Thomas, you'll hear this statement: bring forth what is within you, for if you do not, what is within you will destroy you. So what is within us is that divine nature, and it's starting to leak itself out into the conscious awareness of all humans, to where we're going to totally learn to really appreciate living in life, stepping away from our small selves. Small self is guided by the ego. A life of only about materiality, size of my bank account, the type of car I drive, what other people think. All of that at one point was extremely important to us, but it's becoming less important today, that I feel. And that means this ego-based mindset that we've been running around with is slowly losing its grip, and that is the idea of what we could term as turmoil that we see presently in the world today. It's just releasing all of that smallness so we can step into the true nature of our larger divine self. And that's what we're actually witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea of 2012.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's happening on so many levels, in so many ways, for so many people. It's almost like, you can't do one-stop shopping with it. It's not right formulaic. What do you feel some of the, whether principles or practices or information that can help people as they more and more awaken?
I would say the number one thing that a lot of people could do is to learn to speak more gently to themselves. Stop judging yourselves for who you're not. accept yourself for who you are. So the path of self-acceptance, the young lady that you were speaking with when you were talking about meditation, that's also going to be key. In other words, be still. Learn to be still within yourself. Have a still mind, and self-acceptance will gift you that that level of stillness. Because as you become still, there's actually less turmoil. And the other thing I would say is when a person, the hardest thing I was ever taught as a monk was this, to keep my mind and my thoughts always ever present right behind my eyes. Wherever my eyes looked, make sure that my mind and thoughts were there. Well, that's a simple thing, but I'm going to tell you, anybody that attempts it is going to find it more like climbing Mount Everest. Why is that important? Why is that important? That's actually fairly straightforward in itself. Because when we look at the present, there's nothing to worry about. There's no past. There's no future. There's only present. But when we practice being present, we also create what we could term as presence. We're giving life a presence. And people like the Christ, the Buddha, they were very present people. They lived in divine time, not the human experience of what we refer to as time. So that's a real huge tool that if one begins practicing that now, when everything is said and done, and we do step into that divine nature. Let me pose a question to you, Michelle. If you knew you were going to live forever, would tomorrow be important, or would yesterday have any significance?
Not really. I mean, to some degree, to some degree.
Very minor.
I mean, minor, yeah, very minor.
Right. It wouldn't have the impact that it has on the human today. We get too caught up in yesteryear or at some point in the future. I mean, one of my teachers said this to me one day. He said, Stephen, what if everything that you thought, that what you term as your God heard and considered that as a request to give you that as your next experience, would you change the way that you think? My answer, absolutely. And then he looked at me and he said this, that's the truth of it. It does. So every thought is a request. So when you are present, you become extremely powerful, but not for the sake of the ego, but you step into the divine side of being. And you begin to live that. That's where we're being placed.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, as you were speaking, Stephen, I was thinking that I could see the images that what we're speaking about right now, what you're sharing, is that if people started doing that right now, just bit by bit, day by day, bringing it into their everyday living, they would be connecting more and more continually and consistently with that divine aspect.
Absolutely. Right on the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is that connection that's important. I mean, after all, in the idea of consciousness, we always talk about our interconnectedness and how we are all connected together. We are. But we keep it separated because we live it as an intellectual experience, and not actually as part of our lives. When we make it part of our lives and actually live it, we become astounding creatures. I mean, when you look at something like a natural disaster, look at how people bond together. Those miners in Chile, they work together. When we work together, we become a phenomenal place, but we're too fragmented, we're too factional in belief and whatever, when we don't have to be. Remember, all of life is simply an option.
And I love what you're saying, because it's moving out of that factionalism.
Yes.
Whether it's within ourselves, right, or with others, that to me is very, very, very freeing.
Yes. Totally.
Yeah. It reminds me. Oh, years and years ago, I was walking. Visiting someplace, and I went through an area where they had well, I guess, you know, my friends later said, oh, Michelle, you could have probably got shot or something. But there was gang members and people on skateboards, but they were kind of, you know, roughy types. And later I found out that actually were kind of gang members, and they were talking about something about their neighborhood. And one of them was, you know, writing on the wall, was tagging. And I turned around to them and I said, you're not your neighborhood. You're more than that. I said, you're not your color, you're not your race, you're not your neighborhood. I said, you're bigger than that. And one guy started getting upset with me, and then the other ones, though, it shocked them, and they said, wait a minute, just listen to her. And I said, you're the universe and beyond. I said, don't think so small. I probably won't do that again. That's, you know, kind of youthful folly. And but to me, this is what I'm hearing from you, Stephen, in a just an everyday way for everybody, is to see where are you cutting off, or where are you thinking that you're just this one little speck or this one part?
It's one of the things I love to share with people, Michelle, is it's never the location in which you find yourself. It's who you are in that location that you find yourself. Mm. That's the important thing. It's important. And when we learn to realize who we are in any given situation, we become actually empowered instead of giving our power away. I mean, how many people have you spoken with, as an example, that get really caught up in what other people think about them?
Most everyone. I mean, okay. It's very rare to find someone that doesn't have an over-focus of that.
Well, you're talking with one. Because what other people think is what other people think, and it's not my thoughts, it's theirs. And all they've really done is they've placed their judgment and overlaid who I am through their own personal judgment. When we judge another, we will never know who they are. We will only know how we judge them to be. And it will be improbable that we will ever get to know them because we've overlapped our judgment about them. And that's where human traps themselves. And that's just ego-based mind. That's all that is.
Now, one thing I want to get your opinion, take, wisdom on, is that in this critical juncture we are on the shift, where some people are becoming, you know, let's say moving out of that probationary period of light worker, becoming a more advanced light worker, or more awake, more aware, however you want to look at it. There seems to be a bit of a gap where people may study or they may read certain books, but then there seems to be a gap or a break to that information or spiritual principles being applied on a daily basis. And what holds back usually is the mental or emotional body. What are your thoughts? And I ask this honestly. I've been asking this of a few guests lately because I've been noticing this, and I kind of at a loss as to what can help people get that fire going and keep it going so that the mental realm and the emotional realm is not overwhelming, so that they're losing or not staying connected to their divine self or true self. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. Most of us, we read a book and then we go, wow. But what we've done is we've intellectualized it. One of the beauties of living in a monastery is you live it. You don't get to read a book in a monastery. You get the lessons verbally. And then what they do is they help you adjust to living and within those dynamics. I once heard that to gain your real self, you must lose yourself. Now, on the surface, that doesn't make sense. Here's how most people identify themselves. We identify ourselves with our family, our friends, our car, our hair, our body, our bank account, our career. But those are all things outside of ourselves. Here's something that I'd like everybody to know, and I'd like to ask you to hear me out on this one, that's this. We look at ourselves as being imperfect. I mean, you hear all too often, we are imperfect, and it's an imperfect world. Well, if people really realize something. They would never say that. And here's that something. To say that we aren't perfect and that the world isn't perfect is to say that we call what we call this thing God, who we see as the epitome of perfection, made a mistake. Now, if the epitome of perfection made a mistake, that, to me, would make that thing some kind of a joke. The fact is, it didn't. It's just what we judged it and turned it into. Why? Because we're always looking at ourselves going, I wish I were taller, I wish I were shorter, I wish I had blue eyes or blonde hair, or I wish I were a different race or in a different part of the world. That's all wasted, disempowering self-talk that has no value. The truth of the matter is, we are all unique expressions of a divine ideal. And what we do is we read that and we go, wow, if I could only do that. Well, you can. This is something that I found while I was in India. And that's the one that we refer to as the Christ was taught. He was taught what he knew, and he evolved himself into that being. People say, nah, he knew all that. Okay.
No.
Then why does it say biblically in the book of Matthew, how did this man become so educated? Is this not Mary's son, brother of James, yada, yada? So it implies that he did learn and was taught. The difference? He lived it. He knew it. He ate it. He slept it. Most of us allow ourselves to get distracted by the external view that we have of ourselves. Love yourself first, and everything else is given to you. Now, I do not mean that in an arrogant sense, because when you experience true love of your own being, it is an extremely humbling experience, one that no one will ever forget.
Mm.
That's my response.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I so agree with you that this perfection, I years ago studied with Matthew Fox of Creation Centered Spirituality as a book, Original Blessing, and it makes sense. We're these individuated aspects of all that is, or God. We come in perfected form. Mm-hmm. We come in, you know, in the soul form, but it's somewhere along the line we start turning knobs and having misinterpretations. Stephen, something I want to connect with you on and address that was put in the chat room about coming out of the monastery and keeping that awareness of the teachings in your real life. I've put in the chat, the wisdom and enlightenment is to take the teachings out, you know, especially if you're a householder, to live it, you know. How does one go about doing that? And you touched on that a little bit with about the reading, but taking what you've learned from a retreat or a monastery or a spiritual community where one has been segregated to focus on the teachings and the principles, how does one then integrate that into their everyday lives or living?
By not allowing the outer world to become dominant over you. Anytime.
Okay.
All right. If I look at you, Michelle, and I say, Michelle, you make me so happy. What I don't realize is that I have also given you another power. And that power is to make me really sad. But the best thing to do is to be happy and whole in who we are and live through that as our being. Once you get in touch with that, you aren't your bank account. You are a divine creature with a divine ability. And once you have that, there is no way any human that once a person has attained it can ever lose sight of that. There's, you've heard the term eternal bliss before, right? Eternal bliss is actually seeing life, all of it, without any level of negativity, being free of any level of negativity. If a person truly lives in gratitude, how can they ever see anything negative? Besides, if you see something negative, it's just you don't agree with it. All you've done is judge it. So how Stephen, I stayed away from all of that is I just accepted life as I do today for every experience that I have. After all, we're here for experience, nobody ever learned anything by avoiding anything. So no matter how difficult things seemed to me, whatever it may have been at the time, it was still my opportunity to practice my greatest joy, and that's just being Stephen. So that's how I held on to it. Even though when I came back, I did get involved in corporate America, but it didn't jade or change me.
So you could, and see, and I think that's important. It's one of my teachers used to say, Gurmai and Muktananda used to say, anybody can live in an ashram. And I know you've lived in an ashram. I spent a short amount of time there, and there can have its own dramas too, because there's people. But at least you have an agreed way of working through things. But to take that off of the mountaintop, to take it, you know, out of the cave, out of the Himalayas, to take that into the everyday living, and to keep that perspective, as you say, not to let it overtake, you know, is not only possible, but I feel many are meant to do. You know, and to some degree, we're all meant to do. You come out of the cave at some point. How you came out and you went into the corporate world, how did you manage? Because I get this question a lot from listeners as well as people that I work with. How do I, you know, I've studied this, I've trained. How do I do this in this environment?
That's actually simple, by not allowing the environment to control you. Remember, you were you. When when I first came out of the monastery, I found it extremely interesting to maintain the lessons and the teachings as in a foremost sense. But you almost said it. Doing it in an ashram or a monastery is one thing. That's relatively straightforward and simplistic. But in the workaday world, it can be a little more challenging. And I love a challenge in the positive sense of the word. So to me, the corporate world, when I was coming back to the States, I asked one of my teachers this question. And that's that I wanted to remain in a monastery for the rest of my life. And he looked at me and smiled and said, "But Stephen, you are your own monastery." And I took that to heart. So I never left.
Wonderful.
I never left. I stayed centered within myself and didn't allow... and it took diligence to master in the workaday world. But if one has achieved the idea of self-mastery, why would they turn self-mastery over to something outside themselves? They wouldn't. So that's
I love that. You are your own monastery.
Yes.
So I think part of, you know, what you're sharing, I feel, is so valuable, because a lot of times it gets missed, the diligence, the viewpoint of you are your own monastery gets missed, because a lot of times people think, well, if I read this book, or I do this, or I do this course, or I study with this person, or this system of thought or principles, there it is, you know. But there is that, it sounds like from what I'm hearing from you, that when you said diligence, that reaffirming of this all the time, so that you don't lose touch with that truth, the truth of who you are.
Something that stuck in my mind all of these years, well, amongst many things, is this idea. And when Master Lobsang looked at me in one day and he said, "Stephen, that very small pebble that you overlook in your path of life may be the very boulder that creates your stumble." So we just remain observant of ourselves. Remember, it's not any time your mood or emotions or your feelings change, that means something outside you has control of you. Something outside of you is dominating and diminishing your power. So when you achieve that mastery of self, so to speak, that power resides within you, and you do not give it away. Now, I can assure you that a lot of Americans don't like that, when you don't want to jump into their little, I don't know if I want to say pity party or sadness party or whatever. My thing is to lift people, bring them to a higher level, as opposed to going to their level. Let's lift people. into their dynamics until they actually live it. I mean, after 6 years in a monastery, if I didn't have that down within myself, I can't say I don't know if I'd be the human.
No, but you can lose it, because I've seen people lose it. I think the key here is that the practice, the awareness, the practice, so it's like working a muscle. You can, over time, it atrophies, which I, value what you're saying in keeping that diligence, because I think sometimes people think, okay, I got stamped with this and I'm just going to kind of ride it. But there is some focus or effort or persistence.
Here's something I still do to this day. Anything that's going on around me.
To this day?
To right now.
I can't hear you.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello, Michelle? Michelle?
Stephen? Stephen? I don't know why I'm not hearing him. Okay, you can hear just me. For some reason, I'm not able to hear Stephen. So if you call back in, Stephen, for some reason not hearing you. Can you hear me in the chat? And I really wanted to hear. He said, "Is there something I do to this day?" And I'm like hanging on him, hanging on. Let's see. Stephen?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. And then if you speak up just a little bit. That was so strange. I don't know what happened. I guess people could hear you, then they couldn't hear me, then we got disconnected, then they couldn't hear you. And you were starting to...
I've had that experience many times with Blog Talk. But here's an intriguing thing. Here's what I get out of this. Some people...
if you could go talk into the headphones again, really clear.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. Seems to me this is a learning lesson.
Are you there?
Yes.
All right. The reason
you're breaking up a little...
Oh, I'm on a landline. That's odd. Anyway, my message is this. We can become frustrated by things, or we can work with things. If you notice, my emotions, my mood, everything about me is still exactly the same. Nothing has changed. Because I know that when it comes to technology, things like that, events can indeed occur. And this happens in one of those moments. So I see it as... Here was an opportunity to demonstrate precisely what's being shared with your listening audience. That's how I see it.
Now, one thing you started to say, and before we got so rudely interrupted, was something that you do to this day when we're talking about spiritual practice. We can pick up back on that. I didn't hear it. Maybe the listeners did.
Okay. In fact, I just shared that. A good, solid spiritual practice would just simply accept the event. And my mind never got tight. It was just like, okay, now we've got something to do that's exciting. And I actually called in, I think it was the fourth time where you actually could pick me back up.
Okay, so there it is. So you're using the practices, the tools.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Now we've got a caller here. I don't know if they have a question. Hi, 714-884. Did you have a question for Stephen Harefield? Hello? 714-884. You're on Awakenings. Okay, maybe we lost them. I wanted to make sure that they didn't have a question for Stephen, are you still on air?
I sure am. I hope you can hear me.
Okay. Yeah, a little bit went down, a little bit, the voice. It's interesting, there's these little pops things, little kind of pops in the line somehow. But what I hear you saying is actually, imagine that, using. So you're using what you know continually is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. There's no question of that. In fact, again, I say the same thing. I find it interesting how the universe provides a wonderful teaching tool. All of a sudden seemed to be a little bit difficult, and it was kind of the universe's way of saying, all right, Stephen, show them. So,
exactly. Yeah.
So that, and to me, if we don't live the practice, reading it's one thing. In my newest book, The 12 Sacred Principles of Karma, I actually share stories of how my teachers got me to understand and live the principles. I actually re-related from the encounter with a Bengal tiger to a cobra that they next became a rope. And when you understand all of that, life becomes a little more effortless, even in your actions and your activities. They're just no big deal.
Now, Stephen, we do have a question in the chat. So the situations in life, using them to keep going and not let them change who you are. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Whoever typed that in, good for you. You heard it. That's
okay.
Exactly what I'm saying. Everything can be a teacher. There's in the Far East, they have a term called bodhisattva. Bodhisattva is a person that has achieved, quote, godhood. And the saying is in essence this, that when one is on the path of the bodhisattva and they encounter an enemy, they see their enemy as a teacher. And seeing them as that teacher, they honor them as such. By so doing, the enemy goes away. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Most of our enemies are more internal than they are external. And that's the key.
So, just moving to another focus right now, what do you feel a major or few key focuses are for people in coming up in 2011?
Being centered in self instead of being self-centered. If you're self-centered, you will become more selfish. If you're centered in self, you will become more open and more enlivened and more awakened. I usually put a year, I give it to people in a word. For 2010, I called it the year of discontent. When we look back in retrospect, we saw that globally, which includes here in this country. For 2011, I see it as the year of unrest. So that means there's the dynamics of life and living are going to be shifting so much and so rapidly that it's going to put people into a state of unrest, which is why I shared early on in the show that learning to keep your mind and thoughts behind your eyes is going to become huge. Be aware of your divineness, be aware of your kindness, and do as many kind things as you possibly can. And I mean not only for others, but yourself. Lift people. Don't tear them down. I think those are some things very easily that people could do.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Stephen, for being on Awakenings and sharing this awakened insight and wisdom. You're really giving our listeners something, I think, really tangible that they can do to help unfold in their path of consciousness. Thanks so much for being on the program.
My pleasure so much.
Thank you. And if you would like more information about Stephen Harefield, you can go to harefield.com. That's HAIRFIELD.com. And, of course, he is the author of A Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible, The 12 Sacred Principles of Karma. And if you go to harefield.com, there are also other tools and resources as well that can help you on your path to consciousness. As always, amazingly wonderful to connect with all of you. Thank you for holding the space and being all that you are and who you are in this co-creation called life that we're all experiencing and expressing. As always, we'll have the readings in the beginning of the program. You can email info@selfandlight.com. If you'd like to, or awakenings@selfandlight.com, if you'd like questions answered. And also for the gift of the readings, the half off is info@selfandlight.com. But really, this has been a wonderful program. I really enjoyed the questions and the comments. Very, very, not only thought-provoking, but heart-connecting as well. And again, our guest today was Dr. Stephen Harefield. You can reach him at harefield.com. So until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and always keep awake. Well, we're going to end with a little Can You Feel the Waters by Kai Valani.
Can you feel the waters flowing like a river pouring down, bringing in a stream of love from within? We hold our ground. What a gift that we've been given, a treasure is so profound. Raise your hands and ride away to carry us to higher ground. Ride the wave that are flowing down. Ride the wave.